Fine Dining, the search for the most mediocre restaurant in America, is a podcast where comedian Michael Ornelas is traveling the country, eating at all chain restaurants in search of the perfectly average 5.0 out of 10 dining experience, the objective middle threshold of where bad becomes good. Friend of the Doughboys, Marissa Pinson and John Glover were the most recent guests as they reviewed Costco's Food Court. It's a two-part episode that covers everything from discontinued menu items to how many Costco hot dogs they could fit in their mouths. Damn, I wish I was on that episode. I'd crush that. Head over to linktree.com/finediningpodcast, FINEDININGPODCAST, and click B's giveaway to enter a giveaway for an all expenses paid trip to your local Applebee's, the current front runner for the most mediocre restaurant in America at 5.02 out of 10 for you and up to three of your friends. And you could watch or listen to Fine Dining on your platform of choice while you're there. Enter by May 1st, and the winner will be announced on the May 8th episode. Disclaimer, $50 will be provided for transportation along with a $200 Applebee gift card. I love doing those fast read disclaimer things. Go give Fine Dining a listen, the search for the most mediocre restaurant in America.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
What's up, shitheads? Welcome back to another episode of High and Mighty. It's me, your boy, the number one fuck boy, the number one fuck boy, the number one fuck boy, Johnny G. John Gabers, joining me as always in the High and Mighty studios, my nearly silent co-host, Arthur Gabers. Arthur, give him a shout out. Oh, an actual noise. Don't know if the mic picked it up or not. Also joining me in the High and Mighty studios is my human guest, who will do way more talking than Arthur, but not more talking than me, because anyone who listens knows the deal. Guys, it's comedian Seth Cohen.
What's up, shitheads? I don't know if I can accept the title of comedian, but I'll take it today.
Writer?
Sure, would you prefer I'll take writer? That.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, it's always weird because I felt weird calling myself a comedian because I didn't really do stand-up ever.
Sure.
And now I do it, but poorly, so I still don't feel comfortable with comedians.
I did it a couple times, and it was like too much pressure on stage. And after working with real comedians, you're like, I don't do that. Yeah. I can't take that.
But I feel awful saying I'm a writer-actor. That's like, yeah. That's garbage.
Right.
That's like some
sure.
fucking Sundance.
No, you can
pull
it. I feel like anyone who writes, you're like, I'm a writer. Comedian, you have to be like, I've performed in front of other
right,
people.
Right, I've done stand-up. Right. Yeah. Before we get into our topic today, which... we've had a few that we've been throwing around, but candy is where we landed because that's that was what you emailed me 6 months ago. I don't know.
Sure.
It's like, I want to talk
that's
candy.
Because I'm putting the sugar high in High and Mighty.
Yes, please. Let's get high on sugar, boys. Fructose, glucose, and all that. So, guys, as always, shitheads, if you rate me 5 stars on iTunes or Apple Podcasts, whatever it's called, and then roast me in the comments, I will read them live on whatever this is. So this is from Concerned Mom 420. And the title of the review is Thank You, Josh. Attention all mothers. You must share this podcast with your teen. Host Joshua Gambini leads by example in this anti-drug PSA. He goes into great detail about the life-threatening danger of combining marijuana with gabagool. 2 mother-approved thumbs up. Favorite episode, porn. Okay, mom.
All right, that's hot.
Okay, concerned mom. Yeah, funny, mom, concerned mom 420 is also my search term for porn.
Right, exactly.
I think... that would be my like Lipton-esque question for every guest. What is your search terms? Or like what is your reason? Because they change, obviously,
sure.
with the seasons. But I think that's a question that you can really open up a dialogue
What's
about.
A winter season search term?
Right. Santa.
Right. Nailed it.
Such a Gentile. Seth Cohen, not an Italian?
No.
No, okay, weird.
But East Coast, baby. I'm representing Massachusetts today.
Oh, thank you for coming.
There we
thank
go.
Thank you, you scumbag motherfuckers.
A lot of differences.
Seth Cohen is also the dude's name from the OC. Did that fuck you up big time when that came out?
No, I mean, let's talk about that for 2 seconds. So, yeah. Seth Cohen came out. I had just moved to LA when they were casting that, and they were originally going to cast a blonde kid for that. I knew the people were cast. I go, Seth Cohen's not a blonde. He's a dark-haired guy. Adam...
swarthy as fuck.
Brody? Is that the dude's name? Yeah. Am I saying the right dude?
Or Adam is that, Brody. Or is that the... There's Adrian Brody, and then Adam. No, you're right. It's Adam Brody.
So he gets the part. Seth Cohen becomes a monster thing, which every time, even now when people hear my name, it's like as if you said your name was like Theo Huxtable. Like, right, it just like rings a bell for people. So it was kind of cool, but I've run into that guy a couple times while I'm out, and I was actually at a party twice run into him. I ran into him one time, and someone saw a giant bowl of candy, and they were like, yo, Seth, check this out. And this guy thought I was fucking with him the whole night, because someone kept yelling, yo, Seth, check this out. And he's like, why are they yelling my screen name? Then I ran into him, and I said, like, hey, man, thanks for giving me a good name. And we had, like, a long talk one night at, like, the Roosevelt about, like, just, like, how he had given the name Seth Cohen. I'm like, you made me look good. I appreciate that through the years.
Oh, that's so cool. That's...
He was kind enough to give me 5 minutes of his time is the moral of the story. Right.
Not a complete asshole. And honestly, that's all I need to hear about a celebrity to be their fan.
He's very cool.
He wasn't an abject monster.
No.
It's
no.
wonderful that today is the day that they're jackhammering down the block. So listeners probably can't hear it, but...
Oh, yeah, I paid them extra to do that. I was like, I'm going to need a little bit of covering background noise.
Well, don't worry. If you're looking for background noise or poorly recorded episodes, you came to the right place. I heard a story, and it's not necessarily my story to tell, but somebody, a friend of mine, met a dude named Evan Arnold and was like, oh shit, like Kevin Arnold. And then his friend was like, drop it. And apparently he was in the pilot and they named the character after him, and then he was replaced by Fred Savage.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Oh, I know, dude. I hate hearing shit like that. The like my sliding doors moment is I was almost Man versus Food. It was between me and Adam Richman. Yeah. I mean, I don't know how almost I was, but it was between the two of us.
Well, that guy has no jackhammering outside of his house, so right, you chose the wrong way.
Yeah, his house is so high up in the air, you can't. It's on such a ivory pedestal. This is from Tree City Fan. The title of the review is Jam Gargis. Saw Jam's bare butt on Netflix today. I hope that's the clip they play during his In Memoriam segment at the Razzies. yes, my ass is out in the Netflix film Game Over, Man.
All right, I caught that this weekend. All right, now I'm going to interview you for 2 seconds here.
Please.
I have 20 questions about this. One, amazing scene, most memorable from the Game Over, Man movie. Great movie, very funny. The most beautiful shot in the movie, there's like a long jib shot from your ass to head that goes through. How do you get cast? Is the part written for you? And then I have more questions. Let's start with that.
I'll start with a few answers here. I've known those guys for a while. I've done some work with Adam outside of Workaholics. I guess on Workaholics. A close group of my friends were all writers on there, Sean and Dom and Rogers. And I know all those guys. So I met all them over the course of the years at parties and weddings and stuff. So we're kind of buds. They send me an offer to be in the movie. It shoots in Vancouver. They're like, the role is Husky Hostage.
Yeah, I saw that was your IMDb credit also. Yeah. I was like, not even the name?
So in my head, I'm just like, okay, if he has to be Husky, I probably am like getting pulled out of like my hotel room in like a, I knew it was Die Hard in a hotel was their premise. So I was like, I'm probably like getting pulled out shirtless, or I'm like, I belly flop off a diving board or something. You know, that's, I just,
sure.
I know where my bread is buttered.
Right.
And then I get the script and I read my scene and I read that I get my ass eaten by Bay at gunpoint. And I was like, oh my God, I'm going to get my ass eaten on camera. And I went through like a full mental, like I went metamorphosis. I was like, okay, you can do this. That's not going to be that weird. It's really only weird for the other guy. You can handle it. You're an actor. I like talk myself completely into it. I literally am 1 second away. I'm like, should I buzz or shave my asshole completely?
Question.
Yeah. I'm like, what am I going to do? I'm like, I know some of my gay friends are like enemas, bidets, like full clean before an event. And I'm like, I don't know. I got to at least bring baby wipes to Vancouver. I got to be prepared. And then like, I'm doing all this shit. And then like, my phone rings and I answer it. And they're like, so they want to set up a meeting to measure you for the prosthetic ass. I was like, Of course. I was so,
practicing.
I was like, I mean, I've done it once or twice recreationally. I can imagine it's fine for acting.
Your ass looks great, though. Did you end up waxing or shaving?
I didn't have to do anything because I had a fake that fake ass.
That's not your real ass, in it?
No, movie it looks magic. So good, right?
Movie magic, yeah.
I think my real ass is in it briefly, but it's mostly a prosthetic ass. But then they did a little effect that makes it move, they like did a really good job to not make it look fake.
How do they do prosthetic ass?
I stood in a hole in the table. You know what I mean? And then, like, my ass is sort of hanging off with fake legs with pants dangling off of it. The woman showed up. She flew in from Vancouver, special effects company, taped me up in, like, saran wrap in my living room. I'm in my underwear with a strange woman bent over, and she's just wrapping me in saran wrap. And I'm like, what if I found out right now that this was a fetish
right,
of mine?
Exactly. Like,
this would be an inopportune time for me to find out this is awesome.
They brought Punked back. This is the moment. He actually thinks he got the part.
And then when I show up there, all these guys are like, UTK Utkarsh, who plays Bay, who eats my ass,
yeah,
texts me. We have mutual friends. He texts me. He goes, "I'm gonna eat your ass." I was like, "Huh? Who is this?" And he's like, "It's UTK, dude. Right. I'm in Vancouver. We're shooting your scene in 2 days." I was like, "Okay, this makes way more sense."
I get this text often late night, just not during the day.
I will say, the movie came out this past Friday. It's now Monday that we're recording this. I don't know when this episode's coming out, but I've gotten my fair share of DMs. Yeah. I already have a sort of rabid bear fan base, and then, like, it leaked that I get my ass eaten. Leaked, quote unquote.
Yeah.
The movie came out. One thing you may know about Netflix, as someone who's worked on their shows, is that overnight it goes into 10 million people's pockets plus, you know, like,
yeah. And they'll do worldwide releases too, so everyone is seeing it probably across the globe.
In the world who has a smartphone and Netflix just got that movie in their pocket at the same time.
They won't release the numbers, but I bet it was huge.
I guess it has to be. Yeah. I mean, it's the way Netflix does shit. It's like impossible not to watch something sometimes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you turn on your TV and it's like, bah, the trailer is playing, and you're like, oh, how do I get out of this? Then it just starts and you're like, fine. You know, right.
They survive on your laziness. Like, I can't find the remote. I'll just watch another episode.
That's right. I told my wife, I'm like, I wonder how many people are watching Game Over Man. Because Game Over Man is a hard R, violent, fun comedy. Like, right in my wheelhouse of what the kind of shit I like to watch. But that's not something you want auto starting in, like, a
sure,
home.
Sure. Right.
But that was a weird afternoon. So I thank Tree City Fan for shouting that out. All right. One last review as I stall to see if this jackhammer's done. WP Pro 69 says, "Get an inhaler. By far the best podcast of a fat man struggling for breath. Jabba the Gut, great nickname, is the kid that smelled bad and snored when he was awake, but everyone pretended to like so he wouldn't eat them." Okay. Listening to 4 episodes a day at least. Jesus Christ, that's upsetting.
That's a lot of time.
That's a lot of free time. Like, I know, you always hear about people who are like, I listen to X amount of hours of podcasts a day. I'm like, that seems unnatural. And they're like, I work, like, sort of solitary with headphones on. And I'm like, oh, that makes more sense. Like, for, like, coders or people who, like, dog walkers, people who are just out and about.
I get a dog walker. How can you write code and listen to a podcast?
I can't do anything when people are talking. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I can do, like, menial tasks. Podcasts are for dishes. I love
for dishes,
chores,
for
the dog
cardio
walks.
Cardio, maybe.
Yes.
It's the drive. Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Cardio. I'm starting to train for a half marathon, and by starting to train, mean I signed up for one.
Right.
And I'm, like, trying to get into podcasts and audiobooks so that I can like, maybe that'll be how I pass the time
that's
of mileage.
That's a terrible way to pace a run.
Yeah.
It's an audiobook. You're like, oh, this is a soothing voice. Think I'll run to it.
Yeah, I think one of my concerns, and you can maybe gather this if you want to judge a book by its cover, is speed, not an issue.
Right.
I'm surviving, not...
Was the LA half marathon?
No, I'm going to do the Vegas half marathon in November. Yeah.
Great idea. I'm sure the night before will be just great.
I know. That'll be the hardest part, is getting there the day before and be like, just a little craps and some water.
Oh, man. I've never been to Vegas and woke up the next day and was able to do anything, let alone run a marathon.
I drove home from Vegas once on a Sunday and got stuck in traffic, had to roll my t-shirt up in the driver's side window because the sun was hitting me so hard. The little temperature gauge on my Jetta hit 126.
Wow.
I was like, I'm going to fucking die. My tire alarm went off because the heat expanded the air in my tires. And I was so hungover. And I'm like, I'll only fly in and out of Vegas from now on.
Unless I have to run here half a marathon. That's what I'll do. I'm inspired now. Let's make this happen.
Well, once I heard it was like at night and they close the strip and you run the strip, I was like, oh, that's pretty exciting. That might be the only time I might be excited to run.
I get that, but I also don't mind just taking a cab down the strip. It's a much faster experience. Yeah. Or like, just take a limo, stick your head out the window.
To be honest, I don't even leave my hotel once I'm there. Right, I'm like, fuck it, I want to gamble here so I can run up and shit or smoke or fall asleep in my hotel room.
Yeah, it's hard to get a good night's sleep when you're like, outside of here, there's an insane amount of fun happening, I'm just going to go to bed.
There's free booze, gambling, drugs, hot women, hot dudes, yeah. Fucking lunatics, great people watching. And I'm going to go to bed?
No.
Let's talk candy, Seth. What made you say candy? Are you a big candy head?
Yeah, man, I love candy. I love treats. I love snacks.
You're not a bodybuilder, but you're not heavy either. So how do you manage?
Like, growing up, I was always like a stick figure. I mean, that's like why I even entered entertainment. I was always the guy who was like too thin. People walk over to me and be like, look how thin your wrist is. Like, measure it with their hand. And,
I hate that
shit. Teased a little bit that way. And then in college, I inadvertently got the wrong Seth Cohen's mail, and inside was a bottle of creatine. So I was like, all right, mom and dad, I get it. I got your message. You want me to start working out? So I started working out, and I was the guy who came home from like Thanksgiving break putting on 30 pounds. So that like changed my metabolism. I started hitting the gym a little bit to put on weight, but I go to the gym now just to burn off candy.
Oh, right. I know some people like that who are like, I exercise just to keep some sort of homeostasis. Yeah. I'm like, now I'm allowed to do whatever I want. Yeah.
And every show we're working on, there's so much delicious candy. Like when you're little, candy's like the drugs of your life. There was like... You got gum. It's like being in the yard at jail. Like, people got gum. They're slipping it to
Having
you.
Having gum in, like, elementary school is, like, the big thing would be, like, if one of the cool girls gave you a piece of gum, you
or
were,
like a blueberry blow pop.
Yeah, that was, like, that a blessing.
That was, like, a thing.
Yeah.
Yes. And, like, I love candy. I was always the kid growing up who was, like, one day when I get older, I have money. I'm going to buy all the candy I want. And like kept that mentality of like, we have treats and snacks everywhere.
We had one summer in our childhood where we had to live with our grandfather because we had sold our house but hadn't been able to move into the new one yet. And my grandfather was like 60 something years old, had no desire to have three young boys, a dog, and his daughter and his son-in-law all in one house.
And you all lived in the attic for the summer like flowers in the
yeah,
attic.
Yeah. I fucked my sister. I don't know exactly the specifics of that. No, it was more like flowers for Algernon. I just got dumber and dumber.
Right.
Me and my brother, like, we were sort of free reign because they were like, oh, Pop will watch them. But he was like an old man. We're like, we're going to be outside. And he would give us a couple of bucks because he's a grandparent. And we would take a couple of bucks every day and buy candy from the ice cream man because the ice cream man also sold candy.
Oh, really? What'd you get?
Oh, I would go Fun Dip almost exclusively. I would Fun Dip and a Superstar Wrestling Bar, a Fun Dip and the Chocolate Eclair. My brother would go ape shit. He would buy all kinds of shit. And then he got into this pack rat mentality where we were sharing a room and he would keep in the nightstand drawer all the candy bought and he would only eat a little bit each day. You know, sort of like in elementary school when you get cupcakes and one kid waits just so they're the one that has one.
Delayed satisfaction.
Yeah, and my brother did that and he had a drawer full of like Sour Ropes, Airheads. Oh, just like everything. And it was like, to us, that was like opening, like I now know the experience when I became like 25 years old and would buy a quarter of weed at a time.
Right.
You would like look in your drawer and be like, I'm going to be okay for a year. Now it's like, that's nothing. But back then I would be like, me and my brother were like, we're wealthy. We're like, this is an investment that we're keeping this year. Yeah.
I don't have the delayed satisfaction though. I have to shotgun it down. My normal, like I'll get my favorite right now, my top treat right now is Trader Joe's chocolate covered pretzels is my number one.
Great
and
writer's
I eat
room.
A bag. Gotta eat a full bag, not dark chocolate. That's garbage. Milk chocolate.
I hate dark chocolate.
Terrible.
I will, of course, eat it by the fucking fistful if it's all that's around, but I prefer milk to dark so much.
If I get the dark chocolate, it'll last a couple days, but the milk chocolate's one sitting.
Yeah.
And then it's like, I need some of those Wheat Thins from like Trader Joe's too, which are also an amazing snack.
Oh, so that's it. Like, you're a chocolatey candy guy or a gummy, like, fruity candy
My wife loves the sugar treats.
Yeah.
So she's doing the gummy bears and things like that. And I love the chocolate treats, which is a nice, like, division down the line. So, yeah. I mean, that's my sweet spot. I also like the salty snacks, which is like I got to get my Pepperidge Farm Parmesan Goldfish.
Oh,
that's number two.
Yeah.
But just chocolate has always been my life. I love it so much. That's why me and my buddy works in reality, and he's a really good friend from home. We create a show, Snack Off, on MTV. So literally, this was like the greatest dream ever, was like, we're going to cook garbage food with treats. Like, I don't know, what if you could cook with Butterfingers? Like, that sounds amazing.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's what came out of it, because it is such a part of my life.
Oh, that's so, I'm not a candy person anymore just because I have so many vices.
Sure.
That I had to like, I'd much prefer fats, salty, fried, carbs over chocolate. Any one of those four categories, meat, salt. And it's like, so I had to like say like, I don't drink soda. Like that's something I don't do. I don't really eat sweets either. But every once in a while I lose my shit. And I was a recurring extra on 30 Rock. So we were getting paid like $100 for the day. But the only advantage you had was crafty and 30 Rock crafty. Alec Baldwin, Tina Fey, NBC crafty. So I was like, okay, I'll have some candy today.
Working on shows kill us every time because we'll be working long hours and there's just so many treats. And so we're going on one show and they were like, working on the first season, they're like, what's your favorite treat? And I was like, actually, one of my favorite candies, which is hard to get half the time, is Take Five candies. Love Take Five.
Oh, hell yeah.
Such a good. I have like a five revolving favorite candy bars. And she was like, great. And she'd go out and buy numerous bags of just Take Fives. And I was eating 3/4 to a full bag of mini Take Fives a day. And I was like, you have to stop buying these.
You must have been like shitting tar, dude.
No, the weird thing is also a whole different subject is notoriously, Joe Farrell, who works for Funny or Die, he was on a set in Atlanta. I run into him at the Vandal premiere party, and he goes, hey, I heard something funny about you. I go, what's that? He goes, I heard you only shit once a week on Sundays. And I go, that's ridiculous. That's not true. The truth is, I shit twice a week, Mondays and Thursdays.
Wait, is that true?
It's a random thing. I've only shit at work one time on Undateable. I took a shit. Nearly passed out. Came back into the room, white as a ghost. Everyone's like, you okay, man? I was like, I just took a shit in the bathroom. I was like, I might need to go home. That's the only time I've ever shit at work.
Wait, Mondays and Thursdays?
Mondays and Thursdays.
How does that work out?
I can't explain it. It's always just sort of been that way where it's like,
I know that happens with some people.
Yeah.
But I can imagine, like, what does your doctor say to something like that?
You know what? I haven't really discussed it with him because I'm sure it's problematic, but it's always just been, that's just the way it is. And I eat terrible food, just terrible.
Do you feel gross and full otherwise in between Monday and Thursday or Thursday?
No, in my opinion, this is probably the wrong opinion. A lot of people are going to be like, you're going to die of colon cancer. But in my opinion, I'm like, I'm very efficient. I'm just consuming all the delicious ingredients in an M&M package that it's fine. And my diet, I don't eat a lot of fried stuff. I don't eat a tremendous amount of fat. Like I normally do eat a chicken's my favorite meal in the world. Every restaurant I go to, I'm like, oh shit, they have chicken. My favorite food. This is amazing. So I
easy
think
to
I
please if you
yeah.
like chicken. Yeah.
So it's like candy and chicken is my diet. That's why I'm not a,
I will
a giant
say,
person.
If your doctor says, hey, that's not bad, I would kill to shit twice a week. I feel like I could get a screenplay done if I only shit twice a week. You know what I mean? Like the amount of time
yes,
you could do
exactly.
something. I shit four times a day.
Yeah. I also, if I forget to like piss or shit, hours will go by. I'll be like, oh yeah, I had a piss 3 hours ago. I forgot because it just won't happen.
Oh man, now I forget.
It's super
candy.
Weird.
This
yeah.
is way. Yeah. I know nothing. I'm sure people are gonna be tweeting at us like, hey man.
Yeah. No, I'm fully aware. It's not the first time I've heard how unusual it is. This is not normal. Things are wrong with you. I'm not going to live long.
I like your reticence to say like when someone's like, I heard you shit once a week. You're like, hey, yeah. hey. It's twice a week.
Twice
pal.
A week. Yep.
I'm normal.
Very convenient. My weekends, I don't have to go anywhere or shit anywhere. It's very convenient. And again, not shitting at work, which
that's
is a huge,
huge
plus.
Yeah.
I
shit 4 times a day, 3 to 4 times a day to not shit at work or to not
right.
shit anywhere but at home. Like I will take often my last shit of the day before I leave the house is barely a shit. It's just like, please, I don't want to have to deal with this
right,
later.
You're trying to just clean the chamber.
Yeah,
up real
quick. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm like, mm-hmm. I'm just like, I don't want to have to, if I have an inkling, interesting choice of words. If I have an inkling of something right now, I'm going to just see what I can do. Yeah. Holy shit, man.
And if I miss the window on Monday or Thursday, like, I'll forget. So sometimes I will go to the bathroom on like a Wednesday. That means I'm not going Thursday. I'm not going Friday. You know, when like things will get thrown off. Like they had an undateable, they kept like a crap chart or like a shit chart to like keep track.
They were really concerned about your schedule.
I don't know. It's anecdotal. It's shit to give me shit about, right? Basically. Yeah.
But it is, because it is funny. Like, that's just something that once your coworkers find out about you, that's like all that is going to keep coming up.
Oh, right? Yeah. Yeah, you bear every insecurity in the writer's room for fodder half the time, where you're like, this embarrassing thing happened to me. I'll just start with the shit and not touch on any of the others right now. And then everyone's like, oh, great. We're going to grind you out about that for a while. And vice versa. You're doing it to them.
Yeah, you're doing it to other people. Right. But that's... Now, before we get into candy, because, you know, I just had Johnny Pemberton on to talk about breakfast, and we talked about poop for 28 minutes before we even brought up breakfast, so great. This is reasonable. But before we talk more about candy, what happens if you go out and get wasted, or do you drink?
Okay, great. Let's talk. Yes. I love drinking. I don't do it as much anymore, and
you're an adult who has to work in the morning.
Yeah,
and...
It's like, I went to school in New Orleans, which we can talk about in a moment. But that just teaches you to drink. Like, you learn, you get like a minor in alcoholism when you go to New Orleans. Like, I can drink. And then also, when I drink, if you drink heavy enough, I'm not the guy who gets like blackout drunk. Rarely, a couple times in New Orleans, but I'm not that guy. I get wasted, can drink a ton, and then I get the best night's sleep I ever had. So I actually wake up after getting wasted feeling amazing. And I also heard, I take Prilosec every so often for...
Heartburn.
And a friend of mine from New York was in town. They're like, oh, you take Prilosec before drinking? And I was like, no, heartburn. And apparently that's like an alcohol hack. If you take a Prilosec before going out drinking, it like takes out whatever the bad part of liquor is. And I was like, oh, maybe that's why I feel amazing. I normally go to the gym after getting wasted because I wake up being like, I've never felt more refreshed.
What?
Yes.
Holy shit. We are on opposite ends of a number of spectrums here.
Yes, I know. I'm not a normal guy. There's a lot of weird things going on here.
Oh, I'm saying, hey, I'm not saying I'm landing in the middle of the spectrum.
But most people, I do agree, their stomachs are destroyed and like, I need like a burger right now. And I'm like, I feel amazing. I need to get wasted more often.
Oh, that's great. And you still do it less, though, just because life isn't like... It doesn't fit into your life in your mid-30s when you're married and trying to get shit done all the time.
Yeah, I think that's more of what it is. It's also just like... You do it. I don't know. It still happens, but
right,
there's so many crazy tales in the past. It's like, how are you like, am I going to get that wasted tonight? What, at home or at this bar? Where you're like, the adventures can't compare.
Yeah, exactly. That's how I feel like living my Van Wilder life until I was like 25, 26. I'm like, now I don't need to do that at like a work party. But every once in a while, this St. Paddy's Day, I was in wine country with some friends. And I fell asleep at the dinner table. I was like blacked out. Don't remember dinner.
Oh, wow.
Don't remember the Uber ride home. And dinner was at 6:30. I'd just been drinking red wine all day. I just fucking zoned out.
Last time I got smashed, I feel like part of it is too. It's just not. LA shuts down early. But I went day drinking like a year and a half. This is the last month. I only throw up like every like 5 years at most, because that's another thing I don't do. But my buddy was DJing somewhere afternoon. I went there with my wife at the time. And basically, it was like, all right, we're only here for an hour. I want to have a ton of fun, though. You get into that mentality. Yeah. It's like, all right, I'll make it a double Red Bull vodka. Great. I'll have another double Red Bull vodka. I'm in a rush. We're only here for an hour. All right, my friend showed up. All right, great. We'll do like a couple shots of tequila. 3 or 4 shots tequila. Start chugging beer after every tequila. Because I'm like, we're leaving in 5 minutes. Do that, I think, 4 more times. So within 90 minutes now, I had... 4 drinks of like vodka, 6 shots, 3 beers, went home and was like day drinking the sun, retarded, throwing up. And I was like, that's not going to work anymore.
Yeah.
Like, forget it. Done.
Oh, yeah. I've kind of replaced weed with drinking for me, because as someone who likes to get fun. So now, like, this week, I'm taking a month off drinking with a 3-day trip to Vegas in the middle where I'm breaking it. So I'm taking 2 11-day spans off of drinking, right. which is so still seems like an impossible feat. And I went to the Game Over Man premiere party,
right.
I was like, I'm not going to drink, open bar, smoked a joint with some friends, and I was like, yeah, I don't have to drink, I can get high and just say. Then I had 14 soda waters, and I had like, I was drinking seltzer like I would drink beers or tequila soda, right. or vodka soda.
But social.
Because it's instinctual. To, it's also, I realized... what I use to like sort of navigate a party. Like when you're at one of those like work functions, like I wasn't there with my wife. So I was like, kind of like, and I would be like, I've been talking to this person for so long. I'm like, oh, I need to get in. And I realized I would do things like finish my drink and get another drink when it was alcohol. And I'd be like pushing the pace just to like get, let me talk to somebody else. You know,
it's a conversation ender.
Right. It's like, I gotta go grab
this,
another one.
Go. Yeah, right.
Yeah. Or it's a way to like, hey, we're going to go grab a drink. You want something? You're like, yeah, I got half one left.
Sure.
Just put it down.
From now on, anytime you drink with someone and you finish your drink, they're gonna be like, this fucker wants to get out of here.
And they know that. And I brought that up with another friend one time just recently, because I realized I've been doing that. I brought it up with a friend and I saw them like literally like gears turning, like, I think you've done this to me. And I'm like, hey, sorry.
I also think LA is geared because everything closes so early that like it's hard to get, unless you're starting early, it's hard. It's not a get wasted town here.
No,
part of it.
Yeah, because you can't really like, if you go to, like, in New York City, you'd be like, I'd go to dinner at, like, 9:30 and then fucking go out, get to the bar at 11 and party till 3:30, 4 in the morning.
Right.
Here, it's like, it is all earlier. And also, there's not, like, any bar that is, like, a hangout and get shit-faced at bar that's, like, a party scene is, like, so annoying now.
Right.
I think, I think New York had some more of those in-between grounds where it wasn't like a full-blown club, but it was a place people went to get wasted that played good music.
Sure.
That, but there wasn't a dance floor. There was like, you know, there's like this bar, the Whiskey Ward on the Lower East Side that me and my wife loved, where it was like a shot and a beer for $6 and they fucking spun rock and roll vinyl, you know? And it's like, yes, I feel like in LA, it's like that scene would be too hipstery or it's too clubby or it's this place is great. They have great beer on. What time do they close? 10:30 on Saturday.
Right.
Like, what?
Yeah, it's a nightmare. Of course.
And they'll call last call on you at like 11:15 here. People don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
They're like, yeah. I'm like, well, drinking still too. They're like, yeah, we close at midnight. It's like, it's Thursday. And it's like, last call, asshole.
They're basically sending you home. When I lived in New Orleans, a lot of the time, what's great about that, similar to like New York, is there's no one sending you home, so you don't know when last call is.
Right, right, right.
And like, you just stay out all night, like in a crazy, it's just crazy.
I fucking love New Orleans.
Didn't mean to quite steer to New Orleans I know, that wasn't my moment there.
You tried earlier, you're like, I went to New Orleans.
I just gave up, I wasn't trying.
Did you go to Tulane?
Yeah, I went to Tulane, went there, it's nuts. It's Sodom and Gomorrah, 10,000%. Went there. They just moved the legal drinking age to 21.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, it's the only... Drinking age is like a state-by-state law. And
yes,
they give you funds for the highways to make it 21. They say, you don't want to make it 21, you don't get the funds for the highways. So New Orleans was like, no, we don't need those funds.
Yeah.
And so the roads are like destroyed.
If it's 18,
there,
we get fan boat money.
Yeah. So they didn't care. So the roads were destroyed, and then they finally moved back to 21. But they knew when the cops were coming to bars, and they were 18 to get into bars. So you just go in and
18
drink.
18 to swim, 21 to go under is what they used to say on Long Island.
Oh, that's great then. 18, yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy. There were so many times, like, I'd be in this one bar, like, the Boot, like, as, like, a freshman, it was like, hey, we're looking for, like, this bar where they serve underage people, like, you're looking for the Boot, and we'd go in there, and you literally, we didn't even know if it was real, like, can we get, like, two, like, Budweisers, because we didn't even want to order one, because we were afraid it would go away, and you drink all night. It was like Roadhouse, where every night people get into fights, and be like, shout, two men enter, one man leave, every 3 hours,
like,
there'd be, like, brawls outside, and you'd be there till, like, 4 a.m. And you're like, oh my God, it's 4 a.m. Like, you're drunk with some girl. You're like, I think this is, we're way drunker than we've ever been. This is going to happen. And at 5:30 a.m., the bar would close and be like, hey, you want to go home? And they would say, no, I'm going to the next bar. Like, I lost out on making out with more women because they could outdrink me and they'd go to the next bar at 6:30 a.m. and go party.
Oh, shit. That's fucking awesome.
Nightmare.
I couldn't imagine going to school there. I visited there and I think it's the best city in America. It's
what'd
like,
you do?
I've been there a few times. I've been there about 5 times now. I really love it.
That's a lot of times.
Yeah, I really dig it. I went one time with my wife went for her bachelorette.
Oh,
and,
okay.
Yeah, but this was a big thing in our relationship is because for her bachelorette, they went to New Orleans, and she, and everyone was like, wow, that's pretty crazy.
Sure.
But the counter is, I went to Munich for Oktoberfest.
Okay, so, all right.
So she would be like, I thought I, she was like so happy that she made this like amazing, and I'm like, well, I think me and my friends are going to go to Germany. And she's like, you... I thought I had you on this one because she's like the most competitive person ever. But she went there. I went there with friends before. And then one of my favorite experiences there, I went, I was in an improv comedy group, still technically am, with my buddies Ben Rogers and Gavin Spieler. We were told we're going to perform at Tulane. We're going to get $1,000 or whatever to split. Oh, that's amazing. And three hotel rooms were like, oh, that's so fun. I'm like, hey, if we offer to split the hotel room, can we have three nights? That doesn't change the cost of the flight or whatever. And they were
wow.
And the tour director was like, yeah, I guess if you're willing to share rooms. So we had three free nights at a hotel, $1,000, like $350 each based on what we got paid.
Which would go pretty far.
Yeah, which would go, and knowing we didn't get cash in hand, but we knew in our heads, like, we could break even on this trip going sure. a little crazy. So we spent 3 days there. We're about to, our friend Neil Casey, a very funny comic, former guest of the podcast too, he's there with his family. They go, like, they used to go like every Thanksgiving or something.
Right. And
he's
not like, a good family place, but.
But they're an interesting family.
And, okay.
And he's like, he goes every year. So he's like, I know everything. Let me take you around.
That's great.
And he
best
just,
way.
And he took us and we just wandered around New Orleans and hit like all the places that I now know are like the places you want to go to, but having been brought around. And then I found the Erin Rose Cafe, which is like an Irish pub like over there, but they have the Irish iced coffee like blended, which is the best. I think the best drink. I stand by it. I tell people this whenever they go. I think it's the best drink I've ever had. In the like in the world or in America. It's like fucking
wow.
It's and it's nothing. It's blended coffee with Jameson and ice cubes in like a
that's
slushy
you've been
machine.
Drinking all day there. You're like, I think this is the best drink I've ever had.
Well, it's the best way to start a day. You're a little hungover and hot, and then you go there and it's like it's whiskey, coffee, and ice. Like, you know,
right,
it's like
perfect.
Yeah, you're like, oh, I'm feeling refreshed. All of a sudden you're like, let's go fucking let's get the fuck out of here.
It's a great base. Great base. Yeah. Start the day.
Go
let's
to the
get
chart room,
crawfish
start smashing
in here.
Some beers. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The food is fucking awesome. Mimi's in the Marigny was like the best yep. restaurant I've ever eaten at down there. It was a fucking cool little tapas place. It's really, I enjoy part, like I love drinking and I love eating and I love, but I really appreciate traveling somewhere where that's part of the culture.
Right. It's a drinking town, not a drugging town.
Right, right. You go to drink. Like that's what I felt about like Munich Oktoberfest. I was like, I mean, if I was on vacation almost anywhere, I would stand around with my buddies and drink beers. But it's nice that when you do it, it doesn't feel like you're like missing out. Like, you know what I mean? Like you can go to Mexico and not see Chichen Itza and just stand right, at a bar right. and smash beers. But mm-hmm. when you're Munich Oktoberfest, standing around and drinking beers is like cultural. You're doing it with the locals and the mayor comes and taps. So like in New Orleans, it's like, well, the sort of the thing is you drink and you eat. And I'm like,
partaking
sold.
The culture. Yeah. I'm supposed to be doing this.
Exactly. And it's sort of like a blanket justification. I went to Barcelona and that's how I felt the same way. They're like, everyone will tell you, oh, just walk around and eat and drink. I'm like, oh, I would do that. Any, I do that
I
in Los Angeles where
that
I live.
Great.
Dude, balding is for real, dude. I get it, man. The one thing I have going for me is that my hair is still up there. My biggest fear is going bald. You can't be fat and bald. Sorry to all my fat and bald listeners and friends. But for real, 66% of men lose their hair by 35. And you'll see it slowly creeping in and it's it beats you up. So a lot of guys have to do stuff for it. Might I recommend 4hims.com? It's a one-stop shop for hair loss, skincare, sexual wellness, all that jazz for men. But more importantly, what they do is they connect you to real doctors and medical grade solutions. So you can take generic equivalents to name brand prescriptions, not like weird gas station type, you know, this is rub this goat jizz in your scalp or whatever. No, this is real stuff. So their prescription solutions, you know, it's all science. It's not like, it's not weird, holistic stuff. There's no waiting room. There's no awkward doctor visits. It's really easy. So all you have to do is answer a few questions. Doctor will review it, prescribe you what you need for your head and products. They come directly to your door. So order now. And my listeners get a trial month of Hims for just $5 today, right now, while supplies last. So go to the website for full details. This would normally cost hundreds of bucks if you went to the doctor or pharmacy, but you can go to forhims.com/mighty. That's forhims.com/mighty. forhims.com/mighty. You never feel unsafe until you feel terribly unsafe in New Orleans.
I got married there also in New Orleans.
Oh, that's awesome.
It was super
crazy.
Did
you meet your wife in Tulane?
Yeah, I met her in Tulane, dated forever, got married in New Orleans. It's a super wild time, but we also got our engagement photos, flew back to New Orleans, and we're like, all right. And he goes, let's take some photos in the quarter. And he's like, all right, photographer. He's like, okay, we'll get there early in the morning, but I just got to warn you, 6 a.m., it's a little dangerous, because that's when everyone's leaving the quarter. I'm like, well, how dangerous is it? We're from New Orleans. And they go, 2 weeks ago, some tourists got, like, assaulted, robbed. They got their head smashed in. And we're like, yeah, we'll do the Garden District from, like, 6 to 8. We'll return around 8
o'clock. Maybe one outside the airport is good.
But it's super crooked, super fun, like, in the way that when I was there too, they said the legal drinking age, like, I'm sorry, the legal limit, like, it's too low. We need to make it to 1.0 instead of, I think, 0.08. They were like, you could be out with your daughter having a couple glasses of wine and she could have a DUI. So they were like, we need people to be able to drink with dinner and be able to drive. So they moved it to 1.0 for a while. And you can drink
in
the streets.
Which is 1%. Alcohol in your blood. 1/100th of your blood is now alcohol.
Get that extra drink in. Yeah. So you can still legally drive.
Oh, dude. Yeah. When I was there, I went with some dudes who went to Tulane. I was on a plane with my wife. We were going to New Orleans to visit some friends. A dude walks on who is friends with my wife's old boss, who was a lawyer, and goes, oh, are you going to in lawyer's birthday party? And we were like, no. What? You guys are going to all New Orleans? It's like, they're all in, like, we were 25, they were all in their 40s, and they were like, we all went to Tulane Law, we're going down, and they're like, you should at least meet up with us tonight. And we were like, sure, we'll go meet up with her old boss, who we're friends with, and we're like, it's a group of dudes, they're
it's going good to know a lawyer there.
Yeah, and he goes, get in the car. I'm like, car? He has like, one of the dudes has like a 50s, like, teal pickup truck that's just like no seatbelts. Everyone's bouncing around. Dudes are in the back, like adult men are in the back, and we're driving, and he's driving with fucking whiskey on the rocks on his leg. And I'm like, wow, this is crazy. I know New Orleans is like, and he goes, New Orleans is one thing, but being a New Orleans lawyer is another thing. And I was like, holy shit.
10,000%.
Yeah, it felt like in the Garden of Good and Evil. You know, it was all of a sudden like, we're above the law here, friend.
We had an ex-judge perform our wedding because we knew we needed someone just on the inside because we assumed someone would get arrested.
Right.
It's so crazy. Here.
Let's talk candy.
Let's have a treat and then I'll tell you a New Orleans story.
All right, you have a metal briefcase here that you brought in and you're opening, like, it looks like it's a poker chip. Oh my God, you have candy strapped in.
These are like my chef's knives I brought for you. So
I know,
they're, some
it
of my
really,
five
you look cycling. Like an assassin.
Brought you a couple of my favorites here.
I see.
I got five rotating favorite candies. We'll have a couple bites. I did eat some of these chocolate pretzels on the way over, so that is open, but everything else is good.
Oh, shit, dude.
Go through a quick rundown. They'll tell you a story. We'll have a couple of treats.
Yeah.
Peanut M&Ms, that's the way to go. 9 times out of 10, it's a traditional candy. It's so good. And you know what else? Side topic here about the candy. I feel like we hit peak candy like 7 years ago. Like,
yes, there hasn't been something new in
no.
a while.
And growing up, there were like Mambas came out, or at least they were popularized. And like, I remember like there were so many candies coming out, and then Hershey even tried with like Symphony upscale. And now they're segmented. Like Reese's will do Krispies, Thin, like the PB Max, like they'll segment the same brand.
Right, right. And it's like slight alterations of like...
They make them small now. Yeah. That was like 6 years ago or more. They tried like the minis, like Three Musketeer minis, Snickers minis.
Yeah, they... And it's weird because like there's not much revolution... Like M&M's, I feel like, is the one that's on the forefront of like, now we have peanut butter M&M's.
Yes,
now we have pretzel
almond,
M&M's.
Which they got rid of, like dark chocolate caramel pretzel. They just expand the brand because
the peanut butter
M&M's
were so good and better than Reese's Pieces, which is crazy to say because
I love a Reese's.
Yeah,
I love a Reese's.
I'm curious. When you mentioned Take Five before, I couldn't place exactly what it tasted like in my head. I noticed there's one here. I'm excited to try.
Take Five is a great go-to. go-to. Not a lot of people like Take Five. Cannot recommend a Take Five more. There's nothing more I love than finding someone who's never had a Take Five and giving them a Take Five.
All right. I'm excited to try this Take Five.
I got York Peppermint Patty. It's delicious. Much better than Junior Mints. Junior Mints are garbage. Love Cadbury. Cadbury... it's one of the they make a great candy bar. Hershey's products are a little like waxy, their chocolate.
Yeah.
Cadbury's delicious. Cadbury also. Some of these are like Velcro.
Creamy caramel.
Gotta have a caramel bar and go through a couple caramel.
So I can get into some opinions here. Three Musketeers and York
Palate
York,
cleanser.
Palate cleanser. Take Five, 5-layer bar, milk chocolate, pretzels, peanut butter, caramel, and peanuts. This is staying right in my wheelhouse. That's a lot of salty.
It's number one.
Yeah, yeah.
Number one, as always, milk chocolate covered Trader Joe's pretzels. Better than Flips, and it has to do with the chocolate to pretzel ratio. Oh, you want like, there's too thin of a chocolate layer on Flips. Trader Joe's gives you ample chocolate around those pretzels. So good.
Oh, shit. This Take Five is fantastic.
So good. Oh, man. We're going to feel so good in 10 minutes. You never feel better than after you eat a ton of candy.
You really do feel a brain reaction, a neurological reaction to eating like a bunch of candy. Positivity, buzzy energy. But I also feel the 40 minutes after I ate candy, my mouth, the the environment of my mouth completely changes, and all of a sudden it's like, I need fucking water, not you.
No, delicious.
You're like, oh, I ate a bunch of candy. I'm probably going to have to take a shit in 4 days. Man, I'm on a diet. I did not intend to eat that whole piece of Take Five. I just wanted a bite, but holy shit, that goes down smooth.
It's so good. It's the only drug that like kills dogs, chocolate. It's something crazy is going on in chocolate.
Yeah, what is up with chocolate? My dog eats his own shit and is fine.
Yeah.
He can't have one bite of chocolate.
I do love chocolate-covered pretzels. Sorry for all the noise, the crackling.
That's fine. I'm chewing into the mic.
All right, let's eat a couple of these. I'll tell you a New Orleans story.
Yeah, tell me a New Orleans story. I'll open up other candies and shout my opinions.
I literally have millions of New Orleans stories. Like, it's back it up for 1 second. I don't know if I mentioned this, but it's Napoleonic law. Whole different set of laws, which basically means the biggest part of it is... a lot of laws, and go to court, they'll go, a precedent to make. Sir, you remember in, this versus this happened to uphold the law. Napoleonic law, they're like, every case is different. I don't know, maybe this guy didn't mean to do that. So, knowing that, I'm in the French Quarter. It's the night I'm graduating. And again, there's hundreds of stories of, like, I know people that have had sex on Bourbon Street and been arrested. And like everyone gets arrested in New Orleans. It happens all the time. All my friends get arrested.
Even the cops are sort of like, look, we just have to arrest you, get you off the streets for like 12 hours.
Because there's crazy stuff going on. Like people are being murdered blocks away. So if you're just being an asshole, they're like, just don't be an asshole. You know, don't pee in the street. Number one, don't ever pee in the street.
Literally the only rule I heard. Yeah. You can walk down the street drinking, just pee in bathrooms.
Anywhere that people always, they'll just hit you. Don't touch the horses, the police horses. They'll hit you with a baton. There's a lot of like grifts going on too, like old timey grifts.
If anyone asks you where you got your shoes, just keep walking.
You go, I bet I can guess where you got your shoes at. And the answer is you got them on your feet.
Yeah.
And that grift gets like a little sketchy when you don't agree to pay them a dollar after they like zinged you.
Right, right. Yeah.
All right. So night of graduation. I'm in the French Quarter with a bunch of friends. We go to Pat O'Brien's, and they serve hurricanes there, which essentially a lot of alcohol is grain alcohol.
Pat O'Brien's is also dueling pianos.
Dueling pianos.
Right.
A lot of the drinks are either made with 151 or diesel, which is 190. So we used to drink 190 with a shot of 151 in it, and we'd go out. So like you're hitting serious grain alcohol.
The monsoon at Port of Call is like my go-to fucking brain destroyer. I love that.
You get amped up in New Orleans. You go kind of crazy. So I have two hurricanes, a couple beers with my family. They go home, and then I drive home. Now, again, you can drink more. This sounds like a bad story. You can drink more in New Orleans. The legal limit's higher. You're allowed to drink in public because even when I was there, you're allowed to drink a glass in public. You can have drinks in your car. If there's a straw, you can have open bottles in your car as long as there's one less than there are people in your car. So if there's four people in your car, you can have three open bottles.
Because that means the driver's not necessarily
That's the wink wink of like, maybe he didn't have one. Right, it's like the benefit of
it. My passenger's got to have beers.
They have to.
We're almost at a bar.
Exactly. It's literally nuts. So keeping these things in mind, as I tell a crazy story. So had a number of drinks, drive down the street called Chapatula's. Driving down, an old Jeep Grand Cherokee that I loved, and I loved speeding in New Orleans. I'm doing a, it's a back road out of the quarter. I'm probably doing 80 on it. It's a pretty, probably not that type. It's probably like 45 or whatever. Pass by a bar, see a cop car. Zoo, go straight by. No big deal. Cops are everywhere in New Orleans. All of a sudden, I see, half a mile back, sirens. Just like lights are chasing me. They're coming after me. And I'm in the car with a buddy of mine, another person. And I'm like, oh man, I think that cop car's coming for me. Do you think so? And he's like, I don't know, man. He's like, I think you should take this right. And I was like, that's a great idea. And my passenger, meanwhile, has a warrant out for his arrest for like some other weird misdemeanor crime in New Orleans. And I've been like dreaming about trying to outrun the cops, like some sort of like 90s movie, or just like, it's so lawless there. Massachusetts, you wouldn't mess with a trooper in a second.
Oh, no, right. No, yeah. Plus also, like, same thing in like growing up in New York and Long Island, it would be like, they're like, I think that was Gabrus. You know, like, they right, just like, right, it's so right, local there. Right. They're like, mm-hmm, I'm pretty sure, let's go to his mom's house. Mm-hmm. And you're like, no. Yeah.
So, that's no good. Let's have a York while we do this.
Yeah, yeah.
This is a good
one. I'm gonna try a Fifth Ave, because I'm also having a hard time placing
it. Great. Fifth Avenue is great.
I love the number five.
Let's only toffee bar. It looks like a fancy candy bar, so yeah, you normally don't want to have it. But
I'm really into chocolate and peanut butter mixing together.
That's like, more of like, yeah, I think it has a little bit of like a Brittle-esque. There you go. But it is exceptionally good, underrated.
Well, it's Butterfinger adjacent. It's like a Butterfinger, yes, style texture, will say adjacent, but less sweet.
I don't like Butterfinger, though. I can tell by your face you don't love this.
I don't love that.
That's okay.
Butterfinger's a bridge too far. Like, I love a good Reese's Pieces. Like, who doesn't love a peanut butter, mm-hmm, cup? Sorry, not Reese's Pieces, a peanut butter cup.
I love peanut butter cups. I hate the minis, again, because of the ratio.
The ratio's off.
It's off. You got to get the big ones.
The thin, I think the ratio kind of goes back to like an interesting ratio, to be honest.
In which
less
one?
Chocolate. Like when the Reese's peanut butter does, when the peanut butter cup does like the thin ones, like they're like the size of the regular ones, but they're thinner. They might be crispy or something. There's like a tweak to the ratio that I think works in their favor.
Reese's Easter eggs were also really,
yes,
good.
No, that's what I'm, yes, thinking of, is the Reese's egg,
yep,
is the, a little bit more peanut butter that just makes it work. So
I'll also
well,
tell you why those are so good. Snickers eggs, Reese's eggs, Cadbury eggs are some of my favorite. The reason seasonal candy is so good is because it's fresh.
Right, right.
Any other time,
they're not going away.
The candy sits
soon
around on a shelf forever. So like when you go, that's why it's always on sale, because they don't want you to be able to date the candy of like it's 3 months old. You buy a 100 grand at CVS, it might have been there for 8 months. You have no idea.
Right, and it hasn't necessarily gone bad because right, it's chocolate in a Ziploc.
It'll
like
get
a,
dusty.
Right.
Chocolate gets old, yeah.
Yeah, you can kind of see yeah, that when you're like, when you like lick it and yeah, then all of a sudden it changes color completely, mm-hmm, you're like, oh.
Or it'll melt a little bit and then re-harden, so it'll get a little dusty. So that's why whenever there's seasonal candy, that's what you want, because it's fresh. It was just made.
Right,
like it's,
right.
That's why it tastes really good.
Shit, dude. I never even placed that, and that's so simple. Like, that's like something like your dad says when you're a kid that makes total sense. Like,
right.
That's like Bourdain's don't eat sushi mm-hmm, on Mondays or whatever. So go back. You take a right. By the way, take five, leaving a good taste in my mouth,
yeah,
though.
It's a great candy bar.
I'm trying your Cadbury.
Everything Cadbury's good. Highly recommend seasonally. Cadbury mini eggs over the large eggs with like the sugar and the mini eggs that almost look like a version of M&M's.
Yes, yes.
Are amazing. They're amazing. I will say, though, I eat an entire bag of these chocolate-covered pretzels, and they do something bad to my stomach.
Yeah.
But I have to do it every time.
I have to take a shit. I know that. That's inevitable.
All right, so... That's so good.
That's really good. That's something special. But to me,
mm-hmm,
I'm a disgusting glutton.
Sure.
I can eat 100 slices of pizza. This chocolate bar is too big for one person.
I will consume whatever we don't eat here
this
later.
This is so rich, I can't imagine eating this whole thing.
You
like eat this like while you're driving to work? This
yes,
is like so...
That is a snack that I'll then shotgun another candy bar down afterwards.
The caramel is a little rich for... Caramello, technically, is a little rich for... for that size of a bar, to be honest, for me.
One of the best. I love this. The order goes Whole Foods sells Lake Champlain Caramellos. Not the small bricks, but are more like a long, thin bar. That's number one. Those are expensive, though, so I don't get them. Cadbury Caramello, Number two. Number three is like the Mars brand, I think, makes like a Milky Way type caramello and like a caramel. That one's really good.
I think my number one candy is a toss up. My number one chocolate candy is a toss up between peanut butter cups and Twix. Love a Twix.
Peanut butter caramel.
Oh, caramel. And here's why I can't eat peanut. Okay. I can't eat peanut butter Twixes anymore, even though I love peanut butter candy. Because I was in a Twix eating competition in ninth grade, and I ate 14 peanut butter Twixes.
Seven packages.
That's a lot of packages. We had singles in school, so I had 14 singles. Yeah, my mouth was like, I couldn't, there's not enough water and milk in the world.
How long did it take you? It's like a hot dog eating contest.
I won. My friends ate like 10 or caramel Snickers, and I should have eaten caramel. They would have been easier to go down, but I'm glad I didn't because I didn't ruin caramel for myself.
What was the prize? A stomachache?
Yeah, the prize was sort of like, you know, hindsight being 20/20 on almost everything I've ever done for like a competition has always been like, well, Gabrus is the best at this, and everyone's sort of like, cool. My whole life has been like, wasn't that awesome? And everyone kind of being like, yeah, man, we're all sick and going to go home now.
Right.
Oh, all right, later.
Remember that guy? That guy, he ate like 14 Twixes back in the day? Yeah, I just saw his ass getting eaten out on TV. Yeah,
he's really gone full circle. So you crank a right.
By the way, also frozen candies, Charleston Chew is really good, but you'll break your teeth on it.
I love a
cold. Same thing with peanut butter cups.
Love
really
a cold
good frozen.
Candy. Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of them don't freeze well, and you can't freeze them and then like re-warm them up. You have to eat them frozen.
Right.
Or they
get
garbagey.
Frozen Girl Scout cookies work wonders too.
Oh, what Girl Scout cookies?
Thin Mints and Tagalongs are my two favorites.
Those like Samoas?
Samoa, no, Tagalong is the peanut butter one. Mm-hmm. The peanut butter like kind of heavy one. Samoa's really good.
I
don't need
Samoas
to be frozen though.
Mm-hmm.
But a frozen Thin Mint.
Those are the best.
I remember a few times in the last 2 years, I've eaten Thin Mints in lieu of brushing my teeth before bed. Sort of like, this feels like they're pretty clean and just go to sleep with like black shit on my teeth.
Oh,
my wife's like, did you just eat Thin Mints instead of brushing your teeth? I'm like, good night. Love you.
Give me a kiss and find out. She's like, you do taste better than normal.
I mean, isn't it better than not just brushing my teeth, just going straight to bed?
Normally you just do it with like a peanut butter Twix, so it is better.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding. I already feel better about life.
Yeah, I mean, I'm starting to feel like the juice of the fact that I haven't eaten, like, I haven't even had carbs in like a week. And and I just had.
You're going to feel amazing.
I do feel amazing. I'm going to fucking crank off right as soon as you leave.
It's the high that won't kill you. No one ever dies of a sugar, like, well, like.
Not an acute. Right. You don't die from a one-off sugar binge.
Right.
You just get your feet cut off at 50. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Let's finish up this New Orleans story.
Right,
God, this candy's fucking great.
Oh, some more York. So, driving down the street, Chapultepec, cop on my tail, my buddy says, take a right.
Yeah.
And I've been dreaming about this for years, and I'm like, you got it. Take the right turn, and now I'm cutting through a neighborhood. Again, in like, just a Jeep Grand Cherokee, weaving in and out of like a neighborhood, and I'm like, I think I did it. I think I got away from the cops here. Cops pull up behind me, lights on. Pull over and stop. I'm like, they're obviously coming after me now. Get on the horn. He's like, step out of the car. I'm like, all right, I guess I got caught. You know, again, Massachusetts would never do this. New Orleans, get out of the car. And I'm like, oh, hey, officer. I was just trying to get out of your way. It looked like we kept going in the same direction. Like, we both were taking a right. Then we both were taking a left. He's like, good job. Cuffs me. Cuffs me, throws me up against the car. And he's like, all right. What's going on? Because he can't understand why we're trying to outrun him. And he's like, what's going on? I'm like, listen, we were at a couple bars just having a drink. I had like three or four drinks. Like, how much have you been drinking? You never want to say you weren't drinking. I'm like, I had two hurricanes, three beers, whatever. He's like, okay.
Yeah, if you say I wasn't drinking, the cop's like, you're under
arrest. They'll never
lie.
Yeah. You don't want to lie to them.
Yeah, they'll make you blow a breathalyzer just to say like, see, told you you drank.
100%. You don't want to be a dick because they're like, we have so much shit to deal with. So I'm like, yeah, I had a bunch of drinks. They're like, okay. And I'm like, look, I'm just trying to get to the next bar. It's like 4:30 a.m. I'm going to go meet some people there. I'm just trying to get to another bar to drink more, sir.
Relax, officer.
Right. Meanwhile, I'm a little bit drunk, so I have the cuffs behind me, and I'm pretty sure I can like put them under my feet and be like, David Copperfield, ladies and gentlemen. So I'm like doing a little bit of shtick like a dick, and they're hanging out for a little while, and they're like, toss the car. You must have drugs. Like, you obviously have drugs. Why else are you trying to outrun us? They toss the car. Yell at us for another
they
half
don't
an
take
hour.
Kindly to that. To try not to get caught smoking weed in New Orleans, right?
Yes. If you're doing drugs, or again, it's a drinking town, but if you have, it's not a big cocaine town. There's sorority girls are doing it, not to generalize, but that was the case.
It's
at,
around
New Orleans.
But
yes.
It's not like what people
there
are
is
doing.
Weed, but it's not like weed in LA, and because no one's ever like, oh man, do you have that Mississippi weed? It's great. Yeah. Like there isn't a lot of great weed shipped in. Especially
no, it's
not
just
then.
Like you're happy to get whatever weed you get.
And yeah, and like there isn't a lot of like. It really is, you're in the swamp there. Yeah, like, it is crazy hot and just liquor and, like, just keep everyone drunk and they'll be fine. So they toss the car a couple times because they're pissed now. They're like, we know you're up to something. And my buddy has another, like, passport with another name on it. He doesn't show him his ID. He's like this crazy Indian dude I have, friend. Shows it to him. They're running all our IDs. Like, I don't know what's going on. They go, all right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to write you a couple of tickets. And I'm like, a couple of tickets? Fuck that. I was like, no way. You're not writing me a ticket because I'm drunk and that New Orleans is a weird place. Some reason I say that, that pisses them off now. And they're like,
weird.
That's it. Get the DUI unit down here. And they start making all these calls and like, now you're fucked. And again, I'm graduating in 6 hours and I'm leaving New Orleans in like 3 days. And I'm like, I can't go to jail tonight. But also, I'm indignant that I'm like, I know New Orleans. This isn't a big deal. What just happened?
This is a fun, funny story, but it also now in 2018 really points at white privilege too a little bit.
God.
Where you're like,
it's crazy.
Imagine, like, I couldn't imagine a black friend of mine going like, all right, fuck this.
100% no. Often teased on American Vandal because the tales I'll tell of like high school and stories like this. I mean, there are a lot of them where it's like, oh, you rascal, what are you doing? And like getting away with murder. Like, just a ton of prank stuff for another day. So, so the guy calls DUI. He's like, get him down here. But the DUI unit, dog, the DUI unit has to deal with a million people. So nothing happens after half an hour. They get fed up. They hand
and
me.
You're sobering up.
Yes,
or
it's annoying.
Peaking, whatever.
He hands me like a court summons, essentially. And he's like, get out of here. They let me get back in the car. I drive to the next bar. Meet up with all my friends. I'm like, you won't believe what happened. What a crazy story. Get home at 6 a.m. before I graduate. Go check out like the court summons. And there's two citations. Number one, improper turn, i.e. running from the police. And number two, careless operation, i.e. DUI, essentially. And I go, oh man, I'm not even going to be in town for this court sentence hearing. So I go call the New Orleans lawyer that everyone uses. Everyone, even when you came from Mardi Gras freshman year, they put this dude's card on your bed and it was like a get out of jail free card. Because again, weird laws.
Handshake deals.
A lot
all
of handshake
of friends,
deals.
Yeah.
I call up this guy. If you DM me, I'll send you his name and number, this lawyer. And I go, hey man, listen, I'm leaving town in 3 days. I have a full summons here for these two things. Here's this story. I go, can you take care of it? I'm literally not going to be here. He goes, here's what you do. I go, move in LA. He goes, mail me $50. Consider it done. I mail him $50, move to LA. I get a letter in the mail a month later. It's the court document shredded.
That's
it's a parking
so
ticket.
Fucking cool.
It's a parking ticket in LA. And that's why going back, when we got married, I was like, we need a judge involved in this wedding. I was like, things might go sideways.
It's
we need
always
to be protected.
Good to have a Cajun swamp judge on tap. Oh,
100%.
That's fucking awesome, man. That's really fun. Oh, that's wild.
It was nuts. It is nuts. And that's why you got to have a lawyer on your speed dial. Give it to everyone. I met a girl who went to Tulane 5 years after me, and we were both like, oh, you know that lawyer? He's still legendary there.
That's awesome. I'll tell a quick 2-minute New Orleans story as I fucking sugar hits my fucking cerebellum right now.
Memories are exploding.
The aforementioned Aaron Rose Cafe. We love that bar so much. We're flying out on a Sunday, but we're not flying out till like 6 p.m. So we're like, let's go there and get shit faced all day long. So we show up there and there's a wedding, and it's like clearly a wedding party's in there. There's a guy in a tux. There's a guy in a tux, a girl in a bridesmaid's dress in a sling, and a 6'5" bald dude with one of those beards that goes to 2 points, and like gauge earrings, mm-hmm. and he's got a priest collar on.
Okay.
And we're like, oh, sorry, there's a wedding, and there's like 10 people in this bar. It seats maybe 20, and we're like, oh, sorry, and they're like, no, come in. We're like, well, we don't want to interrupt your wedding. He's like, join the wedding. It's like their reception.
Oh, wow.
There's like 10. We're like, okay. So we sit down. It's me and my comedian friends. We're just sitting there drinking beers. And all of a sudden, that dude comes over, the big bald guy, and explains that he's the Right Reverend Evil Bob. And I'm like, oh, okay, Evil Bob. He's like, Do you want to take a read of the scripture with me? And I was like, I'm not really a religious guy, but hey, you know, when in Nola, let me know. Right. And he like opens up his Bible and it's cut out with a flask in it.
Oh,
and he
wow.
goes, would you like to take a scripture read? And I was like, sure. So I take it out, take a sip. It's like chartreuse, you know, like
by
some
the way, huge drink in New Orleans. Chartreuse. Yes. Hard to find. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wow, this is pretty good. He's like, we do a little thing here called pony races. Do you want to hang out and do a pony race? And that's like those little 7 ounce Miller High Lifes and you chug them. And I'm like, that's one thing I'm very good at, is chugging beers. But I should give it up that the person who's beaten me several times and twice on camera is Adam Devine. The dude can pound. I'm fucking 3 times his size and he outchugs
me. Get him in here with Twixes. Let's see what happens.
I'm like, how did your husband pass away? Well, he had a stunt that he wanted to do on his podcast. Oh, hugely popular podcast? Yeah. So I'm like chugging beers and... I'm impressing these random people because they're, and this is, I'm flashing. This is me. This is how I got into everything. The first time when I was in seventh grade at my first party, when they were like, do you want a beer? I said, I knew I could drink fast because I can drink chocolate milk fast. I could drink everything fast. So I was like, I'm sure I could drink beer fast. This is my first beer. So I pour it like Stone Cold Steve Austin and I barely spill any. And all these like older girls, I'm like 15. These girls like 17. They're like, holy shit, Gabrus. And all of a sudden I'm like, this is awesome. And that's how I just became Van Wilder in my mind. I was like, this will be the thing that impresses people forever. So I'm getting all pumped up. And the dude's like, we should do a man shot. I'm like, huh? And he's like, here's the deal about the man shot. I don't tell you what's in it. You don't smell it. You just bang it down.
You close your eyes. You open your mouth.
Yeah, exactly. He's literally, and I'm like, sure, man, I'll do it. But it's like edible, right? He's like, you'll see. And I'm like, okay. So me and my friends are like, yeah, we'll do it. We'll do it. And he's like, we got a man shot over here. The whole place starts going like, oh shit. And they all know each other. And the bartender's like, you want me to make man shots? And he's like, she's like looking around. She's like, fuck, I need to go to the basement. And he's like, you better go to the basement. The woman goes to the basement.
Are you also getting nervous at this point?
I'm freaking out. Right. And in my head, like I was a bartender and I partied at college bars my whole life. I'm thinking I'm going to get a cement mixer, which is Bailey's and lime juice. When you put them both in your mouth, it turns to clay. Curdles the Bailey's. Right. So the trick is you always say like to if an annoying customer, you go, oh, you do a shot of this, then do a shot of this and shake it around in your mouth. And then they end up spitting like chalk out.
Okay.
So right, don't ever do a cement mixer. All right, don't ever do a cement mixer. So I'm thinking that's where we're getting. I'm like, worst comes to worst. But everyone, and they put it down and they're like, and they're in like silver shot glasses instead of clear shot glasses. Right. And everyone's like pounding the table. And he's like, let's go, guys, on three. Like, one, two, three. And right as I'm about to do the shot, he goes, real men drink peach schnapps. Real men drink peach schnapps. And I was like, what? And I drank it, and it was just peach schnapps.
Wow.
But he had the whole bar diving. And I was like, this is why I will forever love the city that a wedding played a prank on three people they let come into the wedding and party. I was like, everything about this dynamic is fucking amazing. And I knew I loved that city from here on out.
That's great.
Oh, so awesome. But really, like, real men drink peach schnapps. So I was like, oh.
They're like, wait, that's not it. And like, just kidding. We just want to make sure you drank it. That was that sewage was blood. Water.
Yeah. I did drink blood with my father-in-law. He, like, went not like beef blood. Like, when they made the pig, the roast one time, he was like, they had like a pint glass of blood. And he's like, take a swig of this, Johnny. I was like, oh, Christ.
This is a real man shot.
That's gross. I'm going to have another York peppermint patty.
Yeah, I need a palate cleanser. After hearing that, I was like, I'm not into that.
Well, we sort of talked about... not a gummy guy. I used to love Skittles.
Oh, no,
kind of over Skittles.
Skittles is aluminum foil.
Yeah.
It tastes like flavored aluminum foil.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Hate Skittles.
Where do you fall on Twizzlers versus Red Vines?
Great question. Again, I'm not into the sugar stuff, but Twizzlers over Red Vines. I got a bunch of friends. Love the Red Vines. I'm into Twizzlers.
I think Red Vines is like always at Crafty instead of Twizzlers.
It's always there and people love it, but I'm like, that's for the plebeians. You guys go grab your Twizzlers, have your fill. I'm like, I'm going to go hit this Crackle Mr. Good Bar mix over here.
Ooh, a Crackle. Mm-hmm. That's a good one. I like a Crackle. Nestle Crunch used to do it for me back in the day. That used to my when
a lot
my
of
pop up with
did.
That. Yeah, I would love a Nestle Crunch. Yeah,
candy's also associated like it's such like a movie treat to me, and I love movies. That'd be like, I mean, back in the day, I used to get like Sour Patch Kids.
Oh,
like treats and snacks are like such a fun part of the day and a simple way to enjoy it. Like
my wife got so into Sour Patch Kids in one phase, like after college, where her like she had like her mouth was fucked up. Like she was eating so many.
Yeah, that'll like eat away your gums. Right. Yeah.
She was like, I think I'm like losing skin on the inside of my cheek.
And you're like, have you not been brushing your teeth and instead been eating Sour Patch Kids before?
You just jam watermelon Sour Patch Kids in your gums and go to bed.
Yeah.
Seth, thanks for coming on High and Mighty and talking candy, dude. I think we might have to come back and do another round.
Yeah, dude. I'd love to.
I mean,
to,
if you have a aluminum, if you have a metal briefcase full of snacks at any given moment, we should bust it out.
Next time, maybe we'll talk epic pranks, because we had a prank that you were talking about, bits at a wedding. At the night before my wedding, amongst a number of weird long pranks, we revealed a 9-year prank to my then roommate that at the end of the night, they go, who else knew about this? And the entire room of about 120 people raised their hand. It's just because as people are making speeches, he said a week before, hey man, you've never gotten me. And then we had revealed a 9-year prank that had been going on in front of the entire room.
I can't wait to hear about that. Yeah, well, there's your tag the screenplay, yeah, exactly. Right? That's what you need. Mm-hmm. Save that shit. For, you know, pitch it to Sudeikis.
Yes, exactly.
Any plugs? What's your Twitter so people could tweet at us their favorite candies?
Follow me Twitter. More Instagram. I'm terrible at Twitter, but yeah. I'm Seth Cohen. The letter I am Seth Cohen. And put a lot of candy, random jazz on there. I don't know.
And do you have any plugs? You worked on the first season of American Vandal, which was maybe one of my favorite comedy shows. Possibly my favorite comedy TV show of the
year. Thanks, dude. That's super kind. Yeah, I wrote it with my writing partner, Amy Pocha. And if you watch, two quick anecdotes about that. Nana's party, real party that happened in high school. This girl threw a party in her grandmother's house. We trashed it way worse. My buddy videotaped it. We brought it in for the director. And he was like, this is so bad, the real life version. We need to tame it down because the house is just filled.
Yeah.
And we like ripped the door off. People came down dressed as Nana. Number two anecdote from that. My buddy, Julia Perez, that's a real friend from Massachusetts, and we put her name into one of the scripts. It was like, man, the rumor is Julia Perez wasn't wearing a bra, and we're talking about people with similar names earlier. They added a couple other jokes to the show, which now became, and she's famous for, Julia Perez wasn't wearing a bra, she sniffs Adderall at the party, and she took a shit on the floor.
And that's true for the Julia Perez?
Nope, the shit on the floor and the Adderall, not so much. Or she wasn't even at the party, but she's like, thanks for making me famous as the girl who shit on the floor at the party. She's like, that's great, and this thing's seen by 100 million people. She's like, I wasn't at the party, and everyone's like, did you shit on the floor?
Hey, you could be getting your ass eaten by UTK, so
yeah, exactly.
Hey, it's all six of one, half a dozen of the other. Mm-hmm. So check out the new season of American Vandal is going to eventually hit.
Yeah, I think September. We got another show coming out on Netflix soon. I want those Residgies, CW Seed, Undateable. Go to No Activity, All Access.
Yeah, watch the old episodes of Undateable. Show's really fun. It's Funches, D'Elia, Morin, and a female cast member. That makes me sound like such a misogynist.
Sure, Bianca and Bridget.
Yes. I'm like, why do I only remember the male stand-ups?
Give me a nickel every time you watch.
Please. Well, thanks for coming out. As always, I'm at Gabrus on Twitter and Instagram. Listen to Action Boys on Patreon and Raised by TV on Earwolf. Bye, shitheads.
That was a HeadGum podcast.